I'm Jan Kabili, and this is Alex Lindsay, and we're here today to talk about instructional online video. I'll quickly introduce myself. I am the creator and author and producer and chief bottle washer at the Photoshop Online TV video podcast, and that's a Photoshop training podcast. Also, that's what I do outside of podcasting. I'm a Photoshop trainer and an author, and I've written a whole bunch of books and magazine articles on the subject, and now turning some of my attention to offering free videos on my podcast for the audience that doesn't like to learn through reading books and doesn't have access to see me live. And it's really working out nicely and well. And this is my friend and colleague, Alex Lindsay. Go ahead.
My background, I actually came to instructional video by way of visual effects. So I, before doing instructional video, I worked at Lucasfilm and Industrial Light and Magic doing visual effects for a couple films there. And, then moved into doing visual effects training. So we did lots of blue screen and 3D training, which I'll show a little bit later. And I am also the founder of a company called DV Garage, which builds assets for visual effects artists, and also the founder of a guild for media or content creators called the Pixel Corps. We have about 1,500 members in 35 countries. We produce about a little over an hour of instructional video a week, and we've got about 150 hours in the archive. So we've played around with a lot of different things, which we'll show soon.
So what Alex and I thought we would do is each talk for about, 5-6 minutes, about stuff that we think is interesting on this subject. And then we're going to take questions from you. It's always better to have that conversation. So be thinking about what exactly you want to know, because you have access to us and we know a lot. So use us. I'm going to start off, by talking about what I see as being out there now in the field of instructional, or you might call it educational video. And then Alex is going to show us some of the amazing stuff that's going to be coming real soon. And the first thing I want to say is, I hate even saying instructional educational video. Doesn't it sound boring? Ugh, it sounds like something that you have to learn in school. And the fact is, it really is a lot more exciting, and there is a lot out there. So just to tell you or to show you or define for you the kinds of things that at least I'm looking at when I look at instructional videos, I prepared a little bit of a mashup that shows about the instructional videos in just one little niche, which is the one that I happen to do, and this is not the only one, and this is the area of software training. So let's just look at that really quick.
Welcome to Photoshop Killer Tips, brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. Here's your host, Matt Kwiatkowski.
Shameless plug. Everyone, Jan Kabili.
Welcome to Adobe Photoshop TV from the National Association of Photoshop Professionals.
Welcome to Adobe Photoshop Lightroom Killer Tips, brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. Here's your host, Matt Kwiatkowski.
So that's just a little bit of what's out there in just one field. And as you can see, I have a lot of competition. But welcome competition, because competition always makes things better. So let me ask you, who here is producing some kind of online instructional video? Great. And who among you wants to do that and hasn't done it yet? All right, good. So it sounds like you're all sort of familiar with what we're talking about here. And I just want to say that this is not an area that's limited to software training. That just happens to be what I do. It is a huge area with lots and lots of interesting stuff in it. And let me see if we can take a look real quick at some of the things that there are. Here's a site that I like to go to called the Expert Village. The Expert Village is a site that shows how-to videos, or they call it educational videos. And if you go into this site and you just look at the categories of different kinds of videos, you'll be amazed. I mean, there's everything from, let me see, they have sports. You'll learn, you know, you can learn how to go horseback riding, how to do martial arts, how to do skateboarding. There are instructional videos about food and drink, like cooking or bartending. There's how to play instruments, how to read music, how to build a home recording studio, crafts, of course, and hobbies of every kind. You know, everything from quilting to card tricks. Fitness, a big area. A lot of workout videos and yoga moves and all of that stuff on there. As well as technology videos outside of the area of software training, like information on how you make an RSS feed or how you use certain web apps. And this, of course, is not the only place to find that information, but I kind of like to just show it as, you know, a place where you can get a real feel for all of the different, how large this world is. So that if you are considering making your own online instructional video, you kind of get a flavor for what's out there. I think what all these things share is that they are niches. It's kind of like when I walk into the Barnes & Noble bookstore and I see those little signs on top of all the, you know, all the places where the books are. Every sign is an area in which you could do a successful instructional video, I think, because those are all areas that people are interested in learning something about, so much so that they'll go out in there and pay, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks for a book, and perhaps you can figure out a way to offer them some instruction online for free. And so I urge you to, you know, kind of look at the whole panoply of what's out there and choose a niche from among it. Of course, these aren't the only kind of podcasts that are out there. There are also things like do-it-yourself podcasts. So we have, are you familiar with the Make Magazine podcast site where they show you all that, how to make all those really out there things? But then you can learn how to make ordinary things too, like how to make a garage door opener at other places on the web. So it sort of runs the gamut in that area. Now, I wanted to talk for just a minute about, what kind of methods that you can use to create some instructional videos. Of course, you can just get yourself a video camera, and if you're doing something, say, in your garage, you're showing how to make something in the garage, you just get out there and you film yourself. And that works pretty well. But even if you're trying to show something on your screen, you can still do it with a video camera. You have to be a little careful about getting in close so that you really can see, you know, what's happening on the screen, but it can be done. I had the opportunity to be interviewed by Robert Scoble, who I'm sure some of you, all of you know who he is, and probably some of you met here, where I was teaching online as he was videotaping. I was teaching a photographer how to use Photoshop live. And I found that to be a really exciting format because, you know, it had the people in it. It wasn't just showing the screen grab. But if you are trying to show something about, you know, what you can do on your computer, of course, you can do a screen grab or an animated screen grab. And I and Alex, too, would be happy to answer any questions for any of you that are interested in doing that and want to know how. So that's something we can maybe talk about when we get to the question part, if you'd like to know. And it really turns out it's not very hard. And, you know, you can basically, this is something if you wish and you're not that interested in production value, you can do at home. Now, I wanted to quickly go over a couple of things about then how you can present the videos that you make. Of course, you can make video podcasts. And I am sure that most people in this room have some idea of how to do that, so I'm not going to bore you with that. And once you have your podcast, of course, you want to make sure to do an RSS feed so that you can get subscribers, so they don't have to come to you all the time, but the thing comes to them. And then once you have those subscribers, you start to build a community of, you know, with those subscribers. But presenting video either on a blog or a website or creating an RSS feed that's picked up. How do I stop that? Why don't you do that? That's picked up by aggregators like iTunes or some of the other aggregators out there of RSS feeds. Is not the only way to get your video out there. And I just wanted to throw out a couple other ideas for you. There are sites like, like Bright Cove, where you can upload your video to to their hosting service, and they will host it for you and play the video from there. And they will also get you involved in an ad, a revenue ad sharing situation where you can make some money off it, where they go out and sell ads that are related to the kind of video that you're showing, and then they give you some portion of those proceeds. And Bright Cove is not the only one. There's Blip TV, there's Rever, and there are many others out there. So this is an option for some people. And then another option is this one. This is something quite different. This is the lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com movie training library. Now, this only will come into play if you're someone who's creating, software training videos. But if you are, this is an example of one of the few sites out there that will actually treat you like an author and buy your video, give you an advance, play your video, and give you royalties depending on how many people come to see that video. This is a really nice option, I think, because it spares you from having to do a lot of the grunt work. If, in this instance, you go and you work for lynda.com and you just kind of record something for her, somebody else does all the editing and all the, breaking of your head to get it up online and all of that. So you just can be the content producer, which, to be honest, is what most of us are really good at. And we're kind of winging the other stuff, except for Alex, who's a great producer. So how am I doing on time?
I think we're,
All right, I'm going to let Alex then take over and show you some of the stuff that's coming up that he's working on.
So I'll talk a little bit about distribution, but mostly what I want to talk about is actually the kind of training that we do, so you can get a kind of a sense of the different kinds of instructional training. Within the Pixel Corps, we do a bunch of our own internal stuff. I think I have, DV Garage, of course, we do visual effects production. We started doing instructional video in 2001 and used it specifically just for PR. So we put out a series called the Attention to Detail series and a couple of other ones that were very, very successful for us. PixelCore does a show called Mac Break, which I'll show you a piece of in a second. Gear Media Tech, which is all about how to create podcasts. So, how to do online video. And that's on iTunes. You can just go to the technology area. And then Inside the Black Box, which is all about how to do visual effects stuff. The Pixel Corps currently, we're about to have another company do this, but we currently also do some external work, which I'll show you, which is on golf tech and cocktails on the fly, and we have another 6 shows in pre-production. So in total, we have about 26 shows that are either in production or pre-production right now. It's a really good time if you're interested in doing this kind of stuff. This is the time to do it. So let me show you a couple different ways that we've done it. Now, the most simple version is something like this. So this is from MacBreak, and a lot of people wanted to know how we did MacBreak. So I started for episode 2. We didn't have any content ready, so I just opened up a bunch of stills and drew on them in Photoshop using Snapseed Pro, which is a screen capture program. And so you just see this where it's. I don't know if it's. Oh, can I have the audio? All it is me. Sorry, that was my bad.
You'll see, and I think we had this in the first one. You'll see down here, a lot of people ask us why we cover up the green screen. Well, the reason is we're not shooting it, and the green affects everything. So if you have these are big lights. I mean, it's reflecting green.
So the point is the only thing is that when you start thinking about how complicated your training does, and we do a lot of training that's a lot more complicated than this. These are the most popular Mac breaks, statistically, of all of the Mac breaks that we've done. We've done 60 shows, 60 episodes, and these are the most downloaded. And it's just me sitting there in Photoshop, just capturing my pen tool, drawing over stuff and describing stuff and breaking it down. If the content's compelling enough, or if you have the right things that people want to see, that's enough. And you don't want to limit yourself to thinking that you have to do, high-end, everything. Now, on the other end of this is a little bit of a test that we're doing right now for... You're going to hear my voice a lot. Sorry about that. But
ball moves through the air. This laminar flow is initially more efficient, but it results in an early separation of the boundary layer from the surface of the ball. This, in turn, creates lower pressure in the ball's wake, which generates drag.
So anyway, you get the idea. Now, this is the interesting thing here is that what you've seen before is of course, looking at a market like software. What you're looking at here is looking at golfers. It's a much bigger market. And this is being bought actually from a company here in Austin called On Networks. They're going to launch on Wednesday. And the thing to know is that they're actually, while a lot of companies like Bright Cove and other ones are promising royalties, right now On Networks is paying up front. So it won't be like that forever, but they, you know, they're looking for stuff. Now, the thing to know is that you're not getting Hollywood rates. You're getting something that is a very, they're looking for very efficient producers that can produce things that, are broadcast quality, but also less expensive, 3 to 8 minutes. 3 to 8 minutes, it seems right now with instructional video is the golden spot. One of the things with video and in specifically is that we find that most people don't want to watch anything over about 10 minutes because it takes up all their time. They'll listen to a podcast for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It doesn't really, but they'll listen. They want to watch things that are shorter. Also, it's much easier for you to find information if it's broken into 2 to 8 minute bits, because then it's more searchable. You know, so if you make a big thing that covers 10 subjects in 30 minutes, it's much harder for a user to find where that is, where if you break it all up into little pieces, they're able to get what they really came for. Here's another one that we're doing for On Networks right now.
Hello, I'm here to talk to you about how to make a lemon twist. A lemon twist is an important part of your cocktail repertoire.
This is a show, let me tell you, that you really want to see.
And then there you go. Cheers. That's how you make a lemon twist. Very simple.
So,
to conclude, lemon twist. Get a lemon. Cut off the ends. Separate the fruit from the peel.
Now, one of the things to know about this is a lot of the stuff that we're doing here is very efficient. So this, while we added some little graphics in here, all of this is a template inside of Apple's Motion. And the stuff is driven almost from, we're about a week or two away from driving this from a database. So literally our producer sitting there putting the images and the stuff into FileMaker, and then it just pings the XML data and changes all that stuff. So you can add the graphics. One of the big things, because we do a lot of graphics, because I worked on films, we want to add lots and lots of effects. But we have to think about how we do it efficiently. You know, people expect that at this point. And so you have to add some of that stuff there. Something else to think about there. One more, something else from MacBreak that we've done some research in. This is actually two movies playing at the same time. And QuickTime is capable of playing as many movies at the same time as your computer can handle. And what you see here,
that it's not just the
mic. So while I'm talking about a mic, you can see that this is a rollover.
You have to get another interface.
If I hit that, that's going to take me straight to Heil Sound in this case.
So you have a little XLR that you're going to be...
How do you plug that into your computer?
The XLR, that's going to take you to Wikipedia.
It's an analog in, and you have to have something that takes the analog...
So the point of this is, this is contextual data that is providing you with really, really important... You can go find more information. Now, this could link to there are two things to realize here. One, it could link to a web page, which is what we do now. Two, it could automatically open a web page with a little bit more code. And three, it could link to another movie. So, you know, the thing, you could be working through something that has a lot of data and then give people smaller little pieces. So if we're talking about XLRs and they want to see, we could theoretically have a movie about XLRs that they could go watch that. So I don't have to describe it during the show. You know, so these are things that, you know, this is where that branching becomes very, very important when it comes to building training. Is you can build something that's from 10,000 feet and let people only go down to 100 feet when they want to. Yeah. This is done in QuickTime. We developed the interactive stuff in a program called LiveStage Pro, which is largely like putting bamboo under your fingernails. But it is the only program that does it effectively inside of QuickTime. You can do some of this stuff with Flash. You know, a Flash layer will do, this is actually, oftentimes a lot of this stuff is a mixture of a Flash layer inside of the QuickTime wrapper. So I'll show you a little bit of that. This is a test, and we're taking advantage of fair use at the moment, only because we had an internal test here. So here you're watching a movie, and I want to click on his shirt, which will take me to a website.
Pissed off ex-girlfriend whose thief father taught her every trick in the book.
Well, she just made Danny and Yen. We
only tested a couple of these here. This was just a little example for someone.
Nobody looks at them.
The point is that what you can do is, that is a rotoshape. So we're actually tracing around their clothes. And then we bring those splines into, these are actually done inside of Flash, and that's a Flash layer that sits over top of the QuickTime, that allows it to be clickable. Now, the thing to know is that we didn't make this stuff up. People have been talking about doing this for TV for about 15 years. It's just that no one's ever going to be able to drive this into the, into the TV because everyone's going to try to figure out how to do it on that stupid little controller. This is your advantage. This is your competitive advantage in this market, is being able to add interactivity and being able to add highly niche market. What you don't want to do is start thinking about how do I beat the Discovery Channel? That's going into an open field battle with the United States, with a big, tanks and everything else, and you've got your little rifle. What you want to do is figure out ways to draw that into the, sorry for the military terms. I grew up with a bunch of guys. So draw them into the woods, and make them play a game that they can't play. And the game that you can play that they can't play is interactivity. You can make it interactive. You can branch. You can do all these other, you can go for a niche market where a big market for you is 100,000 viewers. Big market for a small market for ABC, like we'll cancel the show, is 5 million. There's a lot of room there to work as you're starting to go. Now, I got a bunch of other things. I'm going to try to stop because I know we'll give you like 1 minute to ask a question. I apologize for that. A couple things. Make sure that keep short segments. Be very, very clear. People are very impatient. If they don't, a lot of people will build these videos and they kind of wander around. You really want to know exactly why you're saying what you're saying. And as this market becomes more competitive, you really, really have to hit the nail on the head immediately. Because right now, almost anybody can throw something up and everyone will watch it because there's not a lot out there. But it's going to be very, very different at the end of this year. And you want to be entertaining. We picked the bartender, for instance, because she's really, really good and she knows what she's talking about and she's really funny to watch. Outlets on networks. Jan talked about some. Poddango is another one that's more of an aggregator. The big thing is you're going to be the beneficiaries of a huge attack, a huge battle between two big areas. One is Apple TV, Sony with the PS3, Microsoft's Xbox, Zudio Juiced. Everyone's going to be vying for this market this year and next year. AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon are going to be looking at doing video on demand to differentiate essentially a commoditized market. They're going to want to add stuff, value add, other little segments that you work that you can add. And so these are markets that you want to start thinking about. Like Jan said, in the bookstore, she walks in and sees the sections. When I walk into a magazine shop, every magazine is 5 shows, which makes my head nearly explode. I now avoid magazine shops because they give me headaches. So we have time. I apologize. We have time. I'm going to be right outside the door if you want to ask more questions. We have time for 1 question or 2 questions if someone wants to ask a question. And otherwise, we'll be available afterwards. I apologize. We both went over. Yeah. Can you use the mic over here? They're podcasting this, I think. So.
I'm just wondering what the licensing of other people's content is like in terms of cost and legality and so on. Just for context, I'm thinking about doing, say, technical writing instructional videos, and I like to use things like Seinfeld and television shows, comedy routines to illustrate concepts.
I would highly recommend against that.
Highly recommend against? Yeah.
It's a very painful and unhappy experience.
Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
how much of the stuff you're doing in one of these little 5 minute segments is like you scripted? It's written down and practiced and all that kind of stuff.
For the highly technical stuff like the golf tech, it's highly scripted. For most stuff, what we do is we practice over and over and over again, and then we record it and then edit it down. So a lot of it is multi-camera. We record it. We tighten it up largely in the edit, but we try to be as organized as possible. Even Alberta, who's doing mixing drinks for you, it's still a live thing like an Emerald show or something like that, but she's done it 3 or 4 times before what you see to really get it. And that's got pluses and minuses. A lot of times she'll say things that are really great the first time that she won't say the next time, but it's much more organized and move through. But that's mostly what we do is practice and then go.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I've tried it both ways, and I find that it is more natural if you do not script it. So I agree with Alex. Just say it a couple of times before you record it, or even record it. I'll just record it and throw it out and do it again. Or you can do a little bit of editing after you record.
Probably 1 more question.
What tools do you use to track video stats, if any?
You mean for our downloads?
For downloads or where the traffic's coming from?
Primarily what I use is actually Libsyn. So Libsyn, Libsyn provides our.
Give me the thing I can show. The thing we're going to show.
You want this? Yeah. Libsyn is the they do all of our hosting for about half of our shows. And they give you stats. These are the stats that they give you from roughly from where things are, as well as You know, you're kind of how many downloads. It's not the most accurate, but it's more accurate than Nielsen. And that's one thing to always remember is that you can talk about how accurate this is. It's way more accurate than that. Yep.
Quick one. With these short videos, you're talking about 3 to 8 minutes. And as you're seeing all these possible funding models come out, what do you look at for this upcoming year as kind of a permanent rate that you expect for good content? Or what are you doing now for that?
For us, the rate for as far as services go is we will do shows for as little as $1,000 for 3 minutes and as much as five.
Okay.
It depends on the complexity of the show. You're not going to get more than $5,000. That's a very rich show. Average is probably in the $1,500 to $2,500 range is okay. What people are looking to pay for these kind of things. Yeah. And what we find is that what makes this work is to do lots of them at the same time. So we won't do shows that we can't do 10 at a time. You know, you don't want to be doing one or two here and there.
Yeah.
You line people up and you fire them all off in a single day.
No, that helps a lot with trying to figure out a budget and an efficiency in a process that can actually be marketable.
It's all about efficiency of scale right now.
Yeah. Excellent. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I think.